Hello, you guys, and welcome back to From Mrs. to Ms. I'm your host, Andrea. I am joined today by an amazing woman. Karen Viesta is joining us today. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here.
Absolutely. Karen Viesta is a certified health and lifestyle coach who works with women in their 40s and 50s who want to transform their bodies and their lives. She is the founder of Wellegant Woman Coaching and host of the Wellegant Woman podcast. After going through her own midlife reinvention, Karen helps women in midlife to age powerfully, create extraordinary health and vitality, and make each new decade even better than the last. That's amazing. These are all such good things to talk about today. I'm really excited that you're here. I'm in my, I'm going to say my 40s to 50s range there and going over the hill this year. So this couldn't be better timing for me as well. So I love that. So let's start at the beginning. So tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of how you fell into this career path.
Sure. So I fell into it probably the way most of us in this space fell into it, with our own struggles.
Right.
I had been certified as a health coach, you know, back in 2012, but in 2017, I had what I kind of consider to be like a perfect storm. I was entering perimenopause. I probably was in perimenopause, but I was first starting to experience symptoms of it.
Okay.
And it was happening because Mother Nature has a sense of humor, the same year that I had ended a 24-year marriage.
So
I had these two, you know, major changes happening at the same time. All these physical symptoms, you know, just a lot of emotional stuff to deal with. So I kind of just felt like a hot mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was especially frustrating for me is that, as I said, I had been trained as a health coach. So all of the things, you know, I had the knowledge, I had the information.
Yeah.
So I thought.
Yeah.
And, but nothing was working.
Okay.
And after, you know, spending some time feeling terrible, I just said, you know, I was going to doctors, I was going to therapists, I was, you know, trying to figure this out. And it was just one of those nuts that I couldn't crack. So I decided that if I couldn't find the expert that I needed, then I needed to become the expert I needed.
Yeah. Amazing.
So yes. And so, you know, that was when I got my life coaching certification, and I really learned about thought work and you know, addressed the emotional piece. I went and got some advanced certifications in women's wellness. So I learned a lot more about our hormonal body and, you know, why a lot of the quote unquote healthy things I was doing were no longer working.
Yeah.
And over a period of about a year, I felt like my whole life turned around, you know, because I figured out that it wasn't a one and done, you know, I needed to be approaching it from both of these angles of the mental and emotional and the physical. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of learned how to care for my body and my mind in the right way, you know, I felt like it had that ripple effect and kind of like every other area improved.
It fell into place. Yeah. That's
amazing. And that was the point at which, you know, I think the changes became so visible that people, you know, a lot of my girlfriends and people I knew who were in the same, you know, season of life started to ask me, you know, what supplements do you take and what are you eating? And
what are you doing?
Because, you know, I think there was such a need for good information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for better or worse, we live in this information age, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got tons of information at our fingertips. The problem is that it can feel overwhelming to have to wade through it. And, you know, the same way that I was frustrated, I saw so many other women who were frustrated doing things the way they had always done them, but not, you know, able to get the same results.
Yeah.
And that was when I sort of focused my practice, my coaching practice, on just, you know, women in midlife. And I developed, you know, what I think of as being kind of a unique blend of coaching where, you know, we do address the mental and emotional alongside the physical. You know, it's not just about diet and exercise, but there's a huge emotional component in you know, navigating this transition.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to dive more into that. And you and I were just talking before we did get on the air here about just that, like, so many women are really craving this information. And I think that we're all kind of looking to find out what other people are doing and how we can do the same thing. But there's so much conflicting information out there as well, and so many different perceptions on it and what you can do this way and that way. And so I love that we're kind of talking about this today. And I do want to get a little bit more granular later so that we can really dive in and you can kind of give us some of your specific things that you're doing that will help the audience kind of to know, hey, maybe I should try this or that. Because I think that is the biggest thing. We just don't know which way to go. If you're not an expert in your field, it's like overwhelming. You know, there's so much stuff.
Everybody's different.
Yeah, you know, it'll affect you differently.
And that's the other frustrating thing, right? You know, one woman could be doing something that's working really well.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work in the same way for another woman. So it really means, you know, for me, it really meant learning to read my own body and the signals my own body was sending me. And I think that's where, you know, if women kind of learn to tune in, you know, it makes it so much easier to figure out, you know, how to approach things.
Yes, absolutely. So you talk a lot about the perimenopause and then full menopause, our insane body changes for women. Very frustrating that we got all of this. I'm always like, men got off like so easy. I don't know why, what they were thinking when we got this on top of it. But talk to me about the difference between the two and the most common effects on your body. And I guess just how you can kind of tell if you're entering that phase or which phase you're entering.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had no idea until I, you know, as I said, I went for some advanced certifications in women's wellness. I had no idea that perimenopause begins as early as our late 30s. because all that stage really means is that hormones are beginning to decline. So women can be in perimenopause for 10 years, 15 years before they go into menopause. So menopause is defined as, you know, the cessation of one's menstrual cycle. So that's when the cycle stops altogether. But very few women, you know, I don't know if there are any women who are, you know, sailing smoothly along and then all of a sudden one day it just disappears. Usually there's a period of time where periods might be getting irregular, where we might be experiencing symptoms like insomnia. That's a huge one for women, you know, sleep disruption, you know, temperature dysregulation, hot flashes, night sweats, you know, a brain fog. I mean, there are so many different symptoms. And I think the myth, or at least what I believed to be true before I learned, I just thought that, you know, one day all of that kind of hit you.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize is that it's a very gradual, you know, a very gradual process. Period of time, and that the process can take years and years. So again, it might start with just disrupted sleep. It might start with, you know, a little bit of belly fat and weight gain in the middle. You know, it's really interesting and frustrating. Because, you know, I attributed a lot of what I was going through back in 2017 to just the fact that I was under a lot of stress, you know, as I was going through my divorce. And all of those things could also be attributed to stress. So it makes it really difficult to know what's what. And, you know, when we go to our doctor and we ask for a hormone test, it doesn't often tell us very much because hormone levels are always fluctuating.
Right.
You could take a test in the morning and your hormone levels would appear fairly normal. And then in the evening, they would be completely different. So it's really not something that doctors can diagnose based on a hormone test. They really diagnose perimenopause based on symptoms.
And the period kind of ending or becoming irregular is probably the most significant symptom, would you say? Or the one that's most recognizable?
You know what? It is, but it happens later on. You know, some of the other symptoms can go on for years before periods become irregular. That was certainly the case for me and a lot of women. So, you know, that's the other thing is we go to our doctors and we're like, please just tell me, is this perimenopause? And they really can't. They really are diagnosing mostly based on symptoms. So the more we can tune in to our bodies and notice, you know, gee, I have been gaining a little bit of weight and it is kind of localized in my midsection, or gee, my sleep has been a little disrupted. The more, you know, we tune in, you know, better able we are to kind of figure out what stage of that process we might be in.
Okay, so then at what point do you then switch into full menopause? How do you know you're gone, you're no longer in the perimenopause stage, you're now full menopause? What's the
menopause
difference
there? Menopause is the day that your period ends, the time in which you just, your period stops.
What if you don't get a period? What if you don't get a period? I don't get a period. So, because I did like the NuvaRing for a long time, you know, I did that whole thing.
Right,
and then
right.
I have an IUD. I just haven't had a period in years. So at what point would I know, oh, I'm full menopause?
So in that case, they would probably check hormones fairly regularly. And okay. If they saw that everything was low and that it was remaining low, then they would be able to identify that as menopause. Because really,
I should have that,
you know,
it's
funny because all of the years after the menstrual cycle stops, that's all considered postmenopause. So really, if we think of it in three phases, it's like perimenopause or all the years leading up to the end of the menstrual cycle. The menstrual cycle is like that day or that month that the cycle stops, right?
I meant to say
menopause is that point in time, and then everything after that is postmenopause.
I like to think I skipped over it all. I'm in post.
Yeah.
Except for the hot flashes and the sleepless nights and all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
So you stated on your website that you made it very simple, consistent changes to your life. So what were some of those changes that you made?
Yeah. So probably, you know, one of the major changes I made, and again, some of these were emotional and some of these were physical. On the physical side, I think moving to an anti-inflammatory diet and learning how to eat and move and live in a way that would keep the detox pathways clear was huge, because when we're dealing with hormone dysregulation, we can sometimes be in a state of estrogen dominance, right? Mm-hmm. That's what causes certain symptoms. We want our detox pathways to be clear so we can move that estrogen out of our system. When it's kind of in our system and it's creating more of an imbalance, that's when we start really experiencing severe symptoms. So the more we can keep our detox pathways clear, the more easily we can move excess hormones out of the system and just, you know, help our bodies to maintain a little more balance.
But what would be some examples of your inflammatory diet? Like what kinds of foods are anti-inflammatory?
Well, you know, we know that inflammatory foods are sugar, refined carbohydrates, processed foods, alcohol. You know, that's one of the reasons
the
why a lot of women will say, and I certainly put myself in this category, alcohol becomes really disruptive to sleep for some. You know, there's a real, for me, there was like a real direct correlation. If I had that glass of wine with dinner, I knew that night at some point I was going to be restless. I was going to be awake. I wasn't going to, you know, sleep as soundly. It really does. So just by eliminating a lot of the inflammatory foods and replacing them with whole foods, you know, as we all know, fresh fruits and vegetables, lean proteins, you know, those all tend to be more anti-inflammatory.
And that is really interesting because I think a lot of people would think different with alcohol. Like they're thinking, oh, a glass of wine before bed, that's going to put me to sleep. I'm going to sleep so great. But you're saying it kind of does the opposite. It might make you feel tired, right? But you're not going to stay asleep.
That's right. It'll help you fall asleep. Mm-hmm. But because of the effect that it has on the brain, it's kind of messing with our circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
So that's why often, you know, we'll find ourselves up in the middle of the night or just not getting that really deep restorative sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I had interrupted you to ask about the anti-inflammatory thing. So I'll let you continue with things that you were doing for consistent changes in your life that were simple.
Yeah. I changed my movement practices. I was, you know, I think anybody when they're beginning to gain weight or they feel like their body is changing, I think we've been brought up in this mindset of, you know, calories in, calories out.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm gaining weight, I need to be burning more. I need to be doing more intense cardio. That messes with cortisol levels. That you know, cortisol is our stress hormone. And when that is elevated, it sets off almost like a domino effect of, you know, of disrupting all the other hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that cardio that I was doing was really working against me.
Ugh.
So, you know, I learned kind of to replace cardio or some of the cardio that I was doing with less intense cardio, with strength training. I began, you know, practicing yoga and you know, really deepening into that as a way to manage stress and manage cortisol.
Yeah. So not there, necessarily you know, taking it away entirely, just finding different ways to kind of lessen the cardio a little bit so you can get a different feeling and a different result from it.
Yeah. I mean, I still do cardio, but you know, I just won't do a run. I'll do a walk. And, you know, I'll put an incline on. So I'm getting a little bit of resistance in there. Mm. You know, I changed my movement practices.
Mm.
And just, you know, I really managed my mind. And that was probably the hardest part of all of it.
Oh, I like this. Know? What did
I can
you do
give
there?
Up alcohol. I can change my workouts. I can eat more fruits and vegetables. I think really we are in a culture that is so youth centered, you know, so youth obsessed that I think when we hit this stage of life, this season, we don't even realize how many of those messages we've internalized and how damaging it is to think of this period as, you know, the beginning of the decline, right? The beginning of slowing down. I always use the analogy of like a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're conditioned to believe that in our 20s and 30s, we're going up the mountain, we're building, we're growing, we're, you know, advancing. Yes. And then we get, you know, to 40 and somehow we feel like, oh, you know, that's the end of building and growing. And now I'm slowing down. And now I'm, you know, my world is shrinking instead of expanding, and I'm more limited. Like I just, even if we're not thinking it consciously, I realized that, you know, at that moment, especially as I was going through a divorce, you know, I had to figure out how to live the second half of my life in a way that was going to be empowering. I had to really change my identity, and I had to learn how to embrace this time and not think of it as kind of, you know, the beginning of the end or, you know, so you'll hear so many women say things like, well, it's all downhill after 40, you know, stuff like that. It's a really, really detrimental mindset.
Yeah.
And we really have to fight that. And it's not always an easy fight given the messages we get from the media and, you know, within our culture. But that was probably the biggest hurdle, was just reframing aging and looking at the second half of my life as this amazing opportunity, which it 100% is.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not used to thinking about it that way.
So what kinds of exercises were you doing to kind of change that mindset? Was it a daily thing you had to do, or is it something across a long period of time?
You know, it's something I think across a long period of time, and I continue to do it. And that is, I really developed a relationship with my future self.
Mm, I like this.
I really began to think about, you know, the woman I want to be in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah.
And what is her life like? And what does she value?
Yeah.
And what are her daily habits? How does she dress? How does she move through the world? I think the more clarity I got around that, it enabled me to kind of reverse engineer it. And I began to say, okay, well, if that's what she would be doing, if those are the thoughts she would be thinking, you know, as this powerful woman sort of rocking the second half of life.
Yeah.
Well, then I need to bring those beliefs and those practices and those, you know, lifestyle habits into my life now.
Right.
And the more that I kind of got really clear on who she is, you know, who I want to be, the easier it was for me to make choices in the present that were more empowering.
Oh, wow. I love it, Karen. This is fascinating because, as I said, I'm going to be 50 this year. I'm going into that. So I'm really trying to absorb this information to kind of find that out. And every day is a process and it's growth, you hope, right? So this is just wonderful information. So in addition to your one-on-one coaching, you also do a 30-day program designed to balance and detox the body. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I have a program called Revitalize, 30 Days to Beauty, Balance, and Boundless Energy. And I think those are probably the three things I hear women struggling with the most, right? Very low energy, they don't feel beautiful. And we move through a process of going, through a detox similar to what we had spoken about earlier, where we're just opening the detox pathways in a gentle way. It's not like a fast or a juice cleanse or anything extreme. Yeah. It's just supporting our body's own detoxification, our natural detoxification process. Moving to anti-inflammatory nutrition, using movement as a tool rather than kind of a punishment, the way many women do approach movement.
Yeah.
And, using targeted supplementation and all of the tools. I mean, it's really almost like giving women a menopause toolbox.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I like that. These are all the things that we can call on. Part of that is emotional work as well, the work that we've been talking about. So I have weekly, coaching calls. It's a small group coaching program. And so we get on a call weekly and it's just wonderful to have that sense of community, I think, because anytime we're going through something, whether it was menopause, whether it was my divorce, whether it was, whatever else, career transitions, et cetera, it's so easy to feel like we're the only one who's struggling with it. And then when you suddenly get into a group of women who are all having a shared experience, not only does it normalize it, but, it's just, there's such an emotional support that can be really helpful as we navigate that transition.
I absolutely agree with that.
So that's great. Kind of in a nutshell, what that program is.
What that is. So what, in your opinion, are the key things that most women are going through with a midlife struggle? Like, what are the top five things that they kind of go through that, they're wanting to do changes and try to, shake things up a little bit? What are the biggest struggles that they have at that time?
Well, I think, the obvious is the physical symptoms, but I think that a byproduct of that is, a real loss of confidence. I think, it's so easy to spot, the woman who's just almost given up on herself.
Yeah.
And I think it's so sad, because I think there are many women who don't realize that that's not the way it has to be.
Yeah.
And that there is a way to feel better physically and feel better emotionally. But I don't think that a lot of women, get the support they need necessarily from their doctors or from their therapists. I think it's a unique season of life. Mm-hmm. And, it really requires a unique approach that addresses kind of everything and not just one thing.
Right.
So I feel like the confidence is a struggle. Just forming a new identity, a new image of ourselves. That's never an easy thing to do. You know, it's almost like you're forced to kind of rebirth yourself.
Absolutely.
And again, part of that process for me was just figuring out, like, okay, now that I am no longer married, now that I am no longer, now that I'm over 40, right? I'm no longer considered quote unquote young by society standards. What do I want this next chapter to look like? What do I want this next stage of life to look like? I just don't even think many women have those thoughts or those conversations with themselves. I think they're so busy trying to get through the day and trying to feel good and trying to get back to some sense of normalcy, right? That we often don't stop to kind of zoom the lens out and take that big picture approach to our life. And it causes us to struggle because we get stuck in this hamster wheel, going and going and going, and just feeling at the end of the day so depleted, as if we've given everything to everybody else. And, we're just feeling worse and worse and feeling more and more stuck. I think that I hear that word so much from the ladies I coach, just really feeling stuck in their body, feeling stuck in their life, feeling stuck in their job. I think that's maybe the biggest challenge.
It's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. Yeah,
it is. But it's the place right before things can open up. It's like that struggle. What I always try to impress upon women is that is a sign for you that you're like ready to birth that next version of you. That feeling of being stuck, it is literally like you cracking out of the egg, like breaking through. That's, it's almost like the universe's way of telling you that you're ready, you know, that there's something new and you just have to have the courage to move into it.
Yeah. But that's the big thing is having that courage and the ability to just go, I'm going to embrace it. I'm just going to go with where the universe is taking me and just let it happen. And I think that's a lot of it too, is people fight it and they don't want to, like we talked about, you know, we're going into the downhill, as they say, but they don't want to, you know, have to face that's happening. Yeah. And instead,
and that's what, oh, I'm sorry.
You're good. I was just going to say, instead, just embrace it and go with it. And you may be shocked at how different you feel and how, you know, things start going in a different pattern that just brings you back to life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where I think community can be so important.
Yeah.
Because for the woman who's like straddling that fence, who's just, you know, hesitant to jump over it into the next stage, when you are in a group of women who are empowered, who are encouraging, who've gone through it and who are saying to you, this is an amazing opportunity. This is nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to do that when you're in an environment of women who are complaining, who are, you know, negative, who buy into that myth that, you know, life goes downhill after 40. It's so much harder. So that's why I think, as we were saying, like with small group coaching programs or just, you know, online communities, communities in your town, support group, whatever it is, I think anytime you put yourself in an environment where women are, you know, living into the future that you want, lives that you would aspire to, you know, it's going to sort of like pull you towards that. It's almost like the magnet that's kind of drawing you forward.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw this unexpected question at you, but speaking of straddling, how do you know, how does that pertain with the perimenopause, the menopause, all this in women's sex lives? Like how much does that affect their libido, their everything that they're going through, you know, these different changes in their body. And then you're trying to also not only take care of yourself, but you're trying to please somebody else. And how does that all come into play? And what kinds of things can they do there?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say, I love that segue.
I know. I was like straddling. I like that.
Very clever segue. It's huge. It's huge because, you know, there is a very physical component, you know, parts are not lubricated, parts are not working the way they once did. It can be, you know, there's a physical component to it. There is the emotional component of, you know, I'm not sleeping, I'm exhausted. You know, I don't have energy, and that's just not even something that's on my radar. There is the idea of, you know, there's the element of body image. You know, when women's bodies are changing and they don't feel good about the way they look, then they don't feel necessarily sexy or attractive. So there's so many layers to that, and relationship dynamics. You know, if we are at a point in life where we're really struggling to to connect with our partner and have emotional intimacy, then you can be sure that's going to show up in a loss of libido and a loss of interest. So I think, you know, you can't separate the two. They are intimately connected. I think the best approach is one that sort of, you know, again, addresses all of those things, the emotional component, the physical component, the relational component. Right? We have to almost get comfortable thinking of ourselves as like a CEO.
Yeah.
Like this, you know, like there are different aspects of our life and we can no longer operate by just, you know, being pulled along with wherever life takes us. Like, I think that's, you know, one of the biggest lessons I learned is that, you know, this is a time to really take the wheel of our life back. Like we need to really get in the driver's seat again, because it's easy when we have kids and we have lots of responsibilities and we have, you know, we're very busy. Yeah. It's easy to get used to just, you know, kind of falling in line and doing what's expected of us and doing what everybody else needs. And maybe the hardest part of navigating this transition is just the realization like, oh, you know, I need to get back in charge and I need to open my eyes to these different areas of my life where before maybe I avoided looking at it too closely. I was busy. I was swept up. Now we need to really have that self-reflection and that, you know, really that honesty with ourselves. I think it's the reason why more marriages end over, you know, the years between 40 and 60 are the years that women are most likely to divorce. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it has a lot to do with this sort of awakening that many women experience, where they suddenly begin to put their life under the microscope a little bit and they realize, you know, this is no longer working for me.
It's a little sad, but it's also so enlightening. I mean, that's a big thing to me. If it's not working for you, and I'm not promoting divorce at all, but you know, find yourself and figure out the next step and the next plan. Don't just sit in it and feel sorry for yourself and, you know, all of that stuff. I think you just got to get up and go with it, figure it out, you know? So you also have a podcast called The Welligant Woman. How did you come up with that name? I love the name. And what is the basis of your podcast?
So to me, you know, my coaching business and my podcast is called Welligant Woman, because to me, welligance is a term that joins together these two concepts that I think are really foundational to a well-lived life. Yeah. And that is wellness and elegance.
Yeah.
So, you know, wellness, I think we have a broad definition of it now. It used to be, if you talked about wellness, it was like diet and exercise.
Right.
And now we recognize that wellness encompasses everything from, you know, style and beauty to financial wellness to, you know, relationships. I mean, there's, you know, it's a big umbrella. So obviously, you know, there's a focus on wellness, and then there's also this focus on elegance, which I define as, simplicity and discernment and, you know, knowing quality, valuing quality over quantity. You know, it's that, that part of us that wants to live well and is willing to, you know, work our lifestyle, create a lifestyle that enables us to feel peaceful and positive and loving and joyful. So I think when you put those two together, those two things together, it to me, that's a well-lived life. So the podcast is called Welligant Woman Redefining Midlife. And, you know, it's funny because when I started it and I said, you know, I thought to myself, I'm just going to talk about all the things that I'm interested in.
Yeah. So,
you know, some of the shows are centered on health, and some are more mindset, and some are, you know, beauty or style. I feel like, you know, there are so many components, as I said, to wellness that it's been fun. It's been kind of a fun experiment for me to talk about all these different things and kind of see what women resonate with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the coolest part about these podcasts is you might start with a certain niche, or so you think, right? You start one way and then you just start branching off. And the more you start talking about this, it leads to the next thing. And then somebody's like, oh, I would love to talk to you about this. And you're like, oh, that would be amazing too. And I love it because I have learned so much by doing the podcast, you know, and just talking to so many different people. It's just fascinating to hear all about the different things. So I think that's really wonderful that you have that. And it sounds like it's an amazing podcast. So definitely we'll re-announce it at the end of where people can find that. So I want to go back to the things that we were talking about, getting a little bit more granular, and some of the things that you're taking or doing. We kind of talked about what you're doing specifically, but what things are you, supplements maybe you could suggest, different creams. I know that I found something online. I think it's called like an organic yam cream. And that is kind of to help, I think, with lubrication. I don't even know. I just got it and I'm like, let me try it. See what I have. You know, so that was something. I also heard like a black cohosh or cohosh supplement is really good for menopause. So tell me a few things that we can tell the audience to maybe try for certain things.
Yeah. You know, I haven't personally delved too deeply into the herbal remedies. I do believe in supplementation. You know, I think women go in one of two directions. They're either taking no supplements or they're taking like everything on the shelf. And so so I actually have a free resource which I'm happy to share with your listeners.
Wonderful.
Called Which Supplements Do I Really Need in Midlife? Because I narrow it down to, you know, the five or six that I feel are most important.
Okay.
I do think that most of our nutrition should be coming from food, but you know, it's nearly impossible to get everything we need from food. So I do believe that there are a few things that are really beneficial to take, namely, you know, a good broad spectrum multivitamin, vitamin D, which has, you know, amazing benefits to the immune system and pretty much everything.
Yes, yes.
You know, omega-3 fish oils. I've added creatine powder to my regimen, and now I recommend that as well because women experience so much muscle loss.
Okay.
In the years post 40, that creatine helps with muscle protein synthesis, and it really keeps our muscles strong, and that in turn boosts our metabolism. You know, the more muscle tissue we have, the stronger our metabolism is. So there are a few that I think are really good, but I don't believe we need to be taking handfuls of supplements, in order to feel good. I think when we have a diet that is really kind of dialed in, and when we know how to, you know, eat to care for our over 40 body, and we're eating that way, and we're really good about our nutrition, you know, I don't think we need more than like 5 or 6.
Okay. And is there a probiotics or those something that you would definitely
absolutely
suggest?
Probiotics, you know, we all know gut health is connected to everything else, including hormonal health. So, a good probiotic, as I said, there are just 5 or 6, but, always diet first.
Diet first. And what was the resource you said you had? You named it. I just wanted you to say it again.
It's a training called Which Supplements Do I Really Need in Midlife?
Okay. Okay. And that's your own training or is this?
That's my training. Yeah.
Perfect. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So my podcast really coincides a lot with what you're talking about. And, you know, just kind of finding yourself after, whether it's divorce, tragedy, heartbreak, whatever that may be, and putting yourself back out there. So for the listeners, what kind of things would you suggest are maybe good activities or things that they should do to kind of get themselves back out there? I know kind of, you know, working out is pretty simple, but do you have any fun suggestions of things to just go try and see to get the process started?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you what I did one summer that was life-changing. Uh-huh. I was having a conversation with my mother, and my mother was a big Seinfeld fan. I don't know if you know that show, Seinfeld.
Absolutely.
And we were joking around, and she said to me, well, maybe you should do what George Costanza did and like just do the opposite of everything you would be inclined to do. So while I didn't do that, what I did commit to that summer was I said to myself, I'm going to treat my life like a game of hot and cold. Did you ever play that game when you were a kid where like somebody hides something and like if you get close to it, hot, getting hotter. And if you move, move away from it, they're like, no, you're in Alaska. It's too far.
Yes.
So anyway, I was really at that point so desperate to feel good that I said to myself, I'm just going to move toward everything that feels good to me.
Okay.
And I'm just going to slowly try to distance myself from everything and everybody that doesn't feel good to me.
So go hot, stay away from cold.
So that summer I started golf lessons.
Nice.
I started a garden. I decided to take a break from dating because I had been dating online and I just kind of felt like I was burning out. I was really frustrated and tired, and I wasn't in a mindset where I was going to meet somebody fabulous, you know? Yeah. So I said, let me take a break from dating.
Yeah.
So I did all these things, you know, very minor things. None of them were big sweeping changes.
Yeah.
But by the end of that summer, gardening had become such a passion of mine that every year since I've grown my vegetable garden and I love it to death.
Yeah.
I realized I'm a horrific golfer and I will probably never play golf again. You know, the break from dating enabled me to start dating again a few months later in a much more positive place. And I ended up meeting the man who I've been with for the last 3 years, who is the love of my life.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it was such an interesting thing to just really tune into myself and to just say, like, every day, what am I going to do today that's going to feel, you know, quote unquote hot, that's going to feel good, that's going to be, you know, peaceful and positive and and what can I eliminate? And I'll tell you what else happened that summer.
What's that?
I really changed my social circle.
Oh.
There were ladies I had been connected with that I felt like I needed to move away from a little bit. And then there were other people I met that I really welcomed into my social circle because they were really inspiring and positive, and you know, they were people that I wanted to spend more time with.
Yeah.
And I think that experience, I've told so many women, just do it for a month or two. And you will not believe how your life will change. I could never have imagined what life would be like at the end of that summer.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I felt like it improved, every area of my life improved just from that one decision to just lean into the things that felt really good and to just lean away from the things that were really just disrupting my peace and you know, creating negativity in my life.
And look, I really,
we can't do it perfectly. Right.
But we can try.
but it doesn't have to. Yeah, it's just little changes and it really does make a difference.
You know, I've heard that so much, Karen, and I really think that it's the common denominator is to really focus on yourself. And a lot of people may think that's very selfish and, you know, oh, but I still have my kids to take care of, or, you know, if they had them a little bit later in life, or I need to do this for my husband or my spouse, you know, all of those things. But it is so much about just taking the time to serve yourself for a little bit and put yourself first. I mean, you are going into that second phase of your life. And I think finding those little nuggets that you said are incredible because they do lead to other things. I think every time you put yourself out there, something great almost always comes of it, you know, and trying different things. I talk about trying, you know, pickleball is all the craze right now. You know, I've done that and absolutely met people that way. I tried pole dancing just for the sake of not to become, you know, some crazy stripper, but to just find my inner goddess and my inner sexuality and be like, wow, this is amazing. And it was wonderful, you know? Yeah. So I applaud you for doing those things because I think it's incredible to take that step. And I think that's a lot of what women are afraid of is that first step, but just like you said, just do it.
And those are the things that help us to, you know, sort of discover new aspects of ourselves, right? You know, it's like, I think the thing that ages women more than anything else is, you know, just getting stuck in patterns and habits of thought and ways of doing things and closing ourselves off to new experiences. I think it's so, you know, when I meet someone, no matter how old she might be 70 or 80 or 90, my grandmother lived to 103.
Yeah.
And when they are somebody who wants to learn and wants to grow and is interesting and inspiring, they seem so much younger.
They do.
You know, like I almost feel like it's the secret, the youth serum that everyone's looking for is just maintaining that sort of joie de vivre, you know, that idea that like, oh, life is just getting better and better. And look at all these things I'm discovering about myself and look at how amazing the second half of my life can be.
Yes.
But, you know, as you said, we've been conditioned to believe that that's selfish and it means unraveling a lot of that conditioning and those beliefs that we've internalized.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also hit the nail on the head with the getting rid of the people in your life that may be toxic or kind of holding you back or bringing you back. And it's not an easy thing to do, but you have every right to do it. And I've done that a little bit and just like, this is just no longer serving me at this point. And it doesn't have to mean anything more than that. It could be a break, just take a break from that person or somebody that you're like, I just don't want that in my life. But it opens up the door for the person that is going to be, whether it's a spouse, which is awesome that you met somebody. And I have to ask, did you meet, was it online? How did you meet
him? It was.
Which site was this on?
It was Match.
Oh my gosh. That's
back so in crazy. 2021.
Wow.
And it was, you know, at the end of that summer that that I was playing hot and cold.
That is amazing. See, but you kind of opened yourself up to allow something else to enter in that was serving you when you got rid of those things that weren't. I really believe in that.
I think, you know, I think it changes our energy. I mean, I, you know, not to get too woo-woo, although I do like woo-woo.
I like woo-woo.
you know, I think so much of it is that. I think once we make that shift, once our energy starts to change, once we're, you know, I mean, we could say vibrating at a different frequency, right? There's a momentum that happens. And so, you know, the more I did things that made me feel good, the more I wanted to do more things. The more I wanted to try more things. I wanted to meet new people. You know, once your energy shifts, there is sort of like a tailwind that kind of propels you forward.
Absolutely.
But it's hard to get that unless you change the energy first. You know, people say like, oh, well, you know, I'll feel better when the things around me change. It's kind of like, no, we need to we need to figure out a way to feel better so that the things around us can change.
And the change of things will make you feel better. So yeah,
exactly. It becomes like a cycle that carries you through.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Great information. I absolutely love talking to you about all of this today because it does definitely resonate with me for sure at my phase in this life. But also I just think the listeners hearing this is so important just to know it's okay. Just go for it and try new things. So thank you so much for being here with me today. Before you go, I'd like to play this little fun facts, Mrs. to Ms., this or that game. So I'm just going to list off 10 things. It's just a this or that, what you would prefer. The first thing that comes to mind, it's all relationship driven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, would you prefer a romantic dinner at home or an adventurous date night out?
I'm going to say romantic dinner at home.
Oh, kind of like you like the little Netflix and chill, not necessarily the chill.
I love to cook and, you know, I think sometimes that's, most of the time that's really fun.
I think that's such a great little date too, just cooking dinner together, you know, just have some music playing and conversation. I think that's amazing.
I love it.
Number two, bubble bath for two or shower escapades?
Probably bubble bath for two.
Nice.
I'm a bath girl.
You're a bath girl. I love that too. I am too. Number three, this one's a little tricky. A one night stand with someone you've crushed on or a relationship with someone you're just meh about.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
No, I would have to go with the one night stand with someone I've crushed on. I'm not about the meh anymore in my life.
See, no more meh. We want no more meh. That's a great podcast title. No more meh. okay. Future plans or present moments?
Present moments.
Mm-hmm. Early morning hike or a lazy Sunday morning in bed?
Early morning hike.
Oh, I like that. You're the first one to say that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love lazy Sunday morning, romantic Sunday mornings in bed too. But
yeah.
I do love getting outside and getting active. You know, we like to do that.
It's a good way to start the day. Love notes or surprise gifts?
Love notes.
Love notes. I do love a good love note. It could be so simple and I'm all in for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Slow and sensual or fast and fiery?
Slow and sensual.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Romantic getaway to the beach or a cabin in the woods?
Oh, I like both. I'm going to say a cabin in the woods only because I feel like I've done the beach thing more. So
yeah. It's going to be nice.
Cabin in the woods would be a fun change.
Yeah, absolutely. Number nine, slow dancing in the living room or spontaneous dance moves in the kitchen?
I am famous for my spontaneous dance moves in the kitchen.
Are you? I love that.
I am all about the spontaneous dance moves in the kitchen.
Amazing.
And if it's a 90s boy band, even better.
Totally. Absolutely. Isn't that like NSYNC? Is that the one? Backstreet Boys. Which one were you on? Was it Backstreet Boys, NSYNC? Wasn't there one more?
There were a few.
New Kids on the Block? Was that
New Kids 90s? On the Block, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm 55. So I think New Kids in the Block I was younger and probably, you know, more into them. I was a little older by the time those other groups
came out. And they're all making a comeback now.
I would say New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, that's a good one. And number 10, whispered sweet nothings or a bold declaration of desire?
Bold declaration.
Tell it like it is. Just give it to me, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
I love it.
Those are great. Thank you for joining me today, Karen. This has just been amazing to hear this information. Very, very good stuff. And tell us where the listeners can find you, your podcast, everything.
Yep. So my website is wellelegantwoman.com.
Okay.
And
it's woman, right? Not
women.
Not women. Okay.
Right. MAN.
Okay.
And the free resource that I mentioned to you, which supplements do I really need in midlife, can be found at that website.
Great.
So wellelegantwoman.com. And my podcast, Well Elegant Woman Redefining Midlife, is on Apple and Spotify and all the podcast platforms.
Okay.
And of course, you know, Instagram and Facebook and all the socials.
It's the Well Elegant Woman.
Well-elegant woman.
Yeah. No, the at the end. Sorry.
No, just
well-elegant woman. Perfect. Yep. I just want to make sure they got that right. Yeah. Well, wonderful. Thanks again for joining me. Loved having you.
Thank you.
And thank you to the listeners for joining in. I hope you got some wonderful information and we'll take this with you and check out all the resources that she has. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at From Mrs. to Ms. with the number 2 instead of the. And you can also email me at info@frommrs2ms.net. And my website is frommrs2ms.com. So you can find me there and we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for joining. Bye.